Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. We are going to be talking about some very cool things today, and we even have a special guest, actually, too, from Georgia, who are the people who are responsible for saving so many lives and so many dogs. These are people who work behind the scenes who really don't get noticed, and they're not doing it to get noticed. They're just doing things to help dogs. So we're going to talk with them in a little bit later in the second. But first, I want to talk today a little bit about how you decide what kind of breed or what kind of dog to choose when you're looking for a service dog or for a therapy dog. Well, last week we worked on the difference between therapy dogs and service dogs. But a very important thing is to know what you're looking for. Remember, when you have some dogs that are in the shelter, and they're all so cute, and we get at least 200 or 300 a day, different dogs that people send across to either through MerlinsKids.org or through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, we just get so many different ones, and we have pit bulls and pointers and setters and spaniels and beagles and border collies and Aussies and mixtures and shepherds, and gosh, it's just a veritable panoply of like an ice cream store where you can just mix whatever flavors you want. Well, what we want to do is, rather than breeding specific mixes of breeds or breeding specific breeds, to try to get maybe lucky and you get maybe one out of 8 or 10 puppies, and then the other balance of the 10 puppies, maybe 8 or 9 puppies, wind up going to private homes, well, that could have taken a spot away from a shelter dog who needed a home. So we're big advocates of adopting dogs. Not that you can't have your purebred dogs. I can't even tell you how many purebred Rhodesian Ridgebacks, purebred Yorkies, purebred Setters and Spaniels and Beagles there are out there that we've adopted. So I know it's possible, but the big problem is people want to know, first of all, they want a little cute puppy. Oh, look, isn't it so cute? And they say, well, if you don't have the dog from the time he's a puppy, how do you really know what the temperament's going to be? Well, unless you're growing up in the same house with the person who's going to become your spouse someday, chances are that if you, like I, have a brother, or if you have a sister, and if that person growing up in the house is supposed to make you get along really well and be perfect for each other, well, let me tell you something. I love my brother. I could never be married to my brother. As much as I love him, we're two completely different people. We even share the same genetics. So having a puppy doesn't really guarantee that you're going to have a successful dog with, you know, great relationship and a great connection and a great bond with your dog. And chances are you're going to have more problems with the puppy because the puppy is going to go through puppy stages. We talked about development in a previous week and also on the Friday show for the Love a Dog. And we'll talk about that a little more this week, this coming Friday. But it's so important for people to understand that when you choose a dog, regardless of the puppy or it's an older dog, remember that certain breeds have certain characteristics. This is so important. So let's say we have a child that we want to get a dog for, and the child is very, very shy, and he can speak, but he's very quiet, and we want a dog that will help him socialize. You might not want to get a Neapolitan Mastiff or a gigantic dog who looks kind of scary or like he has some kind of defect. If you have a child who needs that confidence, that's where you want to get the child maybe something with a little Cavalier King Charles or even a purebred. There are tons of them out in rescue. Or a little cute little lab mix or a cute little pointer mix or a little Cocker Spaniel mix who is well-behaved and not reactive to children. But don't, you know, we talked about it last week, don't fall in love with your eyes. fall in love with your brain and your heart. Look at the dog that you know is going to be right for your family. If you have, well, like I just had a client who has quadruplets. Well, they have quadruplet six-year-olds. Well, I don't know if they even need a dog, first of all. I think they've probably got enough going on with four kids who are at the same developmental phase at any given moment. But if you do want a dog, maybe getting a dog who's kind of a moderate size, maybe a 25 or 30-pound dog that is a little older, maybe it's 2 or 3 years old, it's already gone through the puppy phase, and you would think that somebody with four 6-year-old children or 5-year-old children would not want to look at much poop because of the number of diapers. They have probably already changed in those children's lives. So choose wisely. Well, one of the things is, what kind of breed? Well, it's very easy to fall in love with your eyes and to look and to say, oh, look, that one, it looks so cute. But if there's a very fearful dog, even though we at United Canine Professionals can absolutely fix any dog, the problem is, if the dog is fearful and you have a very active, energetic family, the dog, chances are, is going to stay fearful or maybe even get more fearful. So you want to choose a dog who's a little more outgoing or have someone who is very experienced with fear as fearful dogs working with you to make sure and even maybe help you choose the right dog. There are some great dogs out there for children. There are certainly lab mixes. There are different various breeds where sometimes you look at the dog and you say, you know, I don't even have a clue what breed it is. But if you get that general feeling of the dog kind of comes up to the front and he seems to be interested but he's not out of control, and you take him out of the crate or out of his run and he seems to really settle in and you say, oh, I can see him sitting on the fireplace next to my chair, that's a good dog for you. But please enlist the help of the local shelter or the people who are in that front line who know that dog. So if someone says, oh, you know, that dog isn't really great with other animals, well, that might not be a proper dog for you to have with four children who are going to be outside playing on the front lawn while your, you know, your dog starts barking or does whatever it is that he may do. So think with your head and your heart, but not with your eyes. Don't worry about what they look like. We hear that with our spouses, and when we meet someone, we say, oh, he's so nice. He's just got the best personality. Well, guess what? Those are the people who stay married a long time or forever. They're not worried about what the look is. Just focus on what the dog can do and what you feel from that dog. What do you get from that dog? So we're going to actually come back in a couple of minutes with a wonderful couple who has rescued, we can't even count how many, but what they're doing is something that's very different and that many people are not familiar with. Remember, the biggest and best helpers in our war against 4 million dead dogs a year are people like you're going to be hearing from in a few minutes. So please stay tuned for an exciting segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're going to be speaking with some really amazing people who actually let other people know about dogs that are out there. We've all heard of different websites and Pet Finder and all these different, now hundreds if not thousands of different websites. The problem is with those websites, how do you know that there are dogs on there if you're not looking for a dog? I don't have time to check on Pet Finder and any of those because I'm busy rehabilitating dogs. So it's great for these websites, but you need people whose life mission it is to tell people about these great dogs who are out there. And we have a future success story that just happened today, in the last 24 hours. I got an email from a gentleman who was letting me know about some dogs that he thought I might have an interest in. And because he emailed them, I never would have in a million years looked for a dog, because we typically look for Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and we know everybody looks for them. But we do take all breeds. So I get this very cute little picture of two pointer mixes. I don't know if they're related, but they're about the same age. Very cute. And I looked, and there was something in that dog's eyes that said, "Hey, try me, pick me, love me." And basically, I checked it out, I contacted the people, spoke with the shelter, and these two guys were pulled, and they were literally going to be killed today. Talk about some guilt here. I couldn't even wait a day because they said no. They were, I believe they called it redlined, meaning that these dogs were actually ready to be euthanized this morning. Well, that's scary because those are two lives that I didn't even know about, and that you listeners have not even thought about. The people who are rescuers and who are out there getting nothing for themselves and spending all their own money, all their own time, these are the people who we have to say thank you to. And these are also the people who are helping us to take shelter dogs, rehabilitate them into service dogs. Because obviously, if we don't know that a dog exists, how in the world can we rescue it? I want to welcome, and I'm getting chills as I'm saying this, because I'm sure in about a year or about 8 months, we're going to know that these two dogs wound up helping two children who are going to be really lucky. And the only reason that these two dogs came to Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals is because of Tom and Gina down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And Tom, Gina, I really want to welcome you to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, because you guys are the unsung heroes, and I wish we could have a round of applause for you, because I'd be leading it. Welcome.
Thank you, Janice.
Tom, I can't hear you. Speak up.
You can hear us? Thank you, Janice.
Hi, Janice.
A little bit of technical. There you are.
Okay.
They may have had themselves on mute. They are from the South. We've got to pick fun at them. So, Tom and Gina, tell us, why do you do what you're doing, first of all? What do you get out of it? Obviously not money. Why do you do this?
I think, well, I know from my my heart, it is so rewarding when you know that you have saved a life. And you know that that dog is going to have a chance to have a new beginning. And some of these animals probably came from situations. We have no idea of their backgrounds, but we know some of them were not really, they did not come from very good backgrounds. And it is just, well, I don't know. It just puts a smile on our faces when we know that they are leaving the shelter.
Wow, well, that's, you know, obviously that's why you're doing it. But one of the questions people have is, why a specific dog? Like, why did those pointers happen to get to me? Why didn't the other dogs happen to catch your fancy or whoever sent those? It seems like it's almost like you guys know who's going to need what kind of dog and what they're looking for, because these pointers really sound like they're pretty perfect for us. What was it or what is it when you see a dog that makes you choose one or two or special dogs rather than just saying, oh, you know, we have dogs that need rescue? Why a specific one?
Well, we actually do it both ways. What we'll do is, the when we get a list of dogs that have been redlined, which are due to be euthanized, usually we'll get it the afternoon before they are going to this would happen, and we'll pull pictures and information about the dogs. We'll send them out, and we'll communicate these to a lot of rescue groups who could pull any dog that they wanted to. Some are breed specific, but most of them are just looking for good adoptable dogs, and then we'll find, after we get those lists out, and we probably send emails and communicate with something close to 1,000 rescue groups, then we'll find the specialty breeds, whether it's pointers or German shepherds or, we've placed every kind of dog you can imagine, from cane corsos down to chihuahuas, and it's targeting the people that are interested in a specific breed. Many times the dogs come into shelters have medical problems. Some of them have been picked up off the street and they're near starvation. Others have come in that they've maybe been abused, and so we deal with all kinds of situations, all kinds of dogs.
Wow, you know, and it's exciting to me to see, because I have a lot of contacts, obviously, and you know, we have, everybody knows, if you have a Rhodesian Ridgeback or an obvious Ridgeback mix, definitely call Merlin's kids, because that's what they look for. But I wouldn't normally have ever thought to look up pointer mixes. I just wouldn't have thought of it in a million years. It's just not a breed I would have thought of. But the fact that you guys are so devoted and you contacted so many people, and I can imagine it's kind of like making cold calls and sales, and you know, you get 1 out of 100 who is going to take something, but you still do all 100 because you don't know which of those 100 is going to be the one who buys the product. So it's kind of an interesting situation when, you know, we have normally brown dogs, it seems to find us, brown dogs, Ridgebacks, lab mixes, golden mixes, occasionally a lot of Ridgeback mixes, though. Mastiff mixes, and sometimes a boxer mix. So, you know, here are these two black and white pointers, and one is black and white and brown, really cute, who are going to have a reprieve and are not going to die, did not die today, because of Tom and Gina. And we're going to come back in a minute with a little bit more and ask them some other questions and maybe even ways that you can get involved with your local shelter to help out and get the word out on these special dogs who are just waiting for a chance. They're just waiting for us. So please stay tuned because we'll be right back with Tom and Gina on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we have Tom and Gina, who are rescuers, who are not actually taking the dogs, but are saving dogs, and are probably saving more than many people who are able to take physical possession of dogs, because they're actually getting the dogs who are out there into home. Tom and Gina, welcome back. I have a huge question for you guys. I know you can't figure out exactly how many, but give me a rough idea. Out of the thousands rescues and shelters and people you're dealing with, about how many dogs do you think you may have facilitated? Not maybe that you personally rescued, but that you passed that information along and you personally got involved with. Give me a number, rough number.
Ooh, that's a tough one to say, Janice, and I'll tell you why. Here's an example. Now, here we are in Georgia working with a couple of Georgia, the high-kill shelters, and we contacted a rescue group just by basically telephone prospecting in Connecticut, and we talked to the lady there for several, a month or so, until she agreed, which most people don't do, but she drove down, or flew down, I guess, from Connecticut to Georgia, and then rented a van and drove back, and I think she took about a dozen dogs and maybe 30 cats with her. Since then, we had no further contact for different reasons, but she was coming back and getting more dogs and cats. So I think she ended up with 40 dogs, and I have no idea how many cats. We have situations like that. Then there are people that we'll talk to, basically set it up with the shelter or with the animal control, and then we step back and we're not directly involved. And we may speak to them from time to time, but it's not a regular thing. So to say dozens, certainly hundreds, a couple hundred, maybe. But that's not to say that we were personally involved with every dog or cat.
Well, but that's okay, because the only reason those two pointers that were in a shelter down in Georgia, the only reason those two dogs were not killed today was because of you. Because you shared or posted or cared enough to get involved for those two dogs. And it's a fascinating thing for me, whether I have a feeling you've probably done many hundreds, but obviously you're not a glory hound. You're just worried about getting these dogs into good homes where they can start.
I think that the number we heard, and we can't claim responsibility for all of these, but the first 6 months of the year, I think 1,800 dogs were pulled out of one of Georgia's Hike Hill shelters. And we were part of that, but not the whole picture by any means.
You certainly had something to do with a lot of them, though.
Well, we'd like to think so, but our satisfaction comes from seeing the picture of the dog on the animal control website, and it says rescued or safe, and that's the satisfaction we get.
That's amazing. Is there a particular breed that you gravitate towards more, or size of dog? Like, what is it that makes you get involved and post like those two pointers that I rescued today for Merlin's kids to become future service dogs for special needs children? What was it about those two dogs that made you send those particular dogs to Merlin's kids?
Well, to tell you the truth, Janice, I'm not sure how you got our email, because you're not on our regular email list, and somehow you sent an email, responded to one that we had sent, except I don't know how you got it, and said, I'm interested in the pointers, because we'd sent those out to pointer groups that we knew about. So why you got those is a good question. I guess that's divine intervention, but... what breeds do we gravitate towards? Well, there's one rescue story that Gina set off that is going to end up with us having a fourth rescue dog.
Uh-oh. Well, tell us about it. You can't leave us in the middle hanging like that. You have people running off the road going, wait, I have to know what happened.
Well, we love all of them, and I think if we could take every dog that is in the shelter, we would absolutely, they would be calling us hoarders. So it just so happened, I mean, that I had spotted a dog with the big sad eyes and worked trying to place this dog. And to me, he looked like a boxer mix. But it turns out pretty soon we're going to have a pit bull. But that's okay. Pit bulls are wonderful dogs. And this particular shelter has a lot of pit bulls. And we see big, happy faces and waggly tails. And that's all that matters to us. We really... like Tom was saying, I mean, we have even had in the shelter a dog that is a Pharaoh hound. I had never heard of a Pharaoh hound.
I'll take that one. We work with them.
Beautiful
and
dog.
And it's brown.
Yeah, yes, it was a lot of brown, but just a beautiful dog.
So what happened to the Pharaoh hound?
The pit bull that Gina's talking about was on death row, and he was about 45 minutes from being euthanized. And Gina said, we can't let him go down. And we put in our name, and he was pulled to safety. And he'll be joining us this week after he's had some medical issues that many dogs in shelters have. And he's been neutered, and he's been vetted, and he's ready to mix with our pack.
Aw, well, that's a happy thing. You didn't answer me about the Pharaoh hound. Is this a while ago, or is this the current dog that you...
Hey, guys.
Don't worry about the dog
barking. This has been a few months ago, but he was actually adopted. And,
oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Gina, is it true that certain colors of dogs, like I've heard all the time, that black pit bulls is the curse of death because a black dog, a large black dog, is the last one to get adopted. Is that true in your estimation from what you've seen?
Yeah, sadly it is. And I don't think that we ever realized that we have three big tan dogs. And they came from a litter where there were five black dogs. And why we took three tan, I don't know. But it's something about, I don't know, that people tend to go into shelters or when they're looking for puppies, they will overlook the black dogs. And just because of their coat, nothing to do with their personalities, how sweet they are or how well they would fit into the family. It's strictly something connected to the black coat.
And that's crazy because black labs for years have been the number one dog in the country. And they're black, and most black dogs, I would think, have some kind of, or many, have black lab in them, and it's America's dog. Although, listen, pit bulls were America's dog with our gang and Spanky and Alfalfa and Buckwheat. So I definitely want to talk with you guys a little bit more when we get back from our next segment, if you can stay with us. And we will be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub-fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. And today's guests are definitely a part of the process of saving shelter dogs who will be changing lives. And this is just so amazing how, you know, as many people as I know who are in rescue and shelters, it's kind of a crazy thing how when people actively do something, it just don't, you know, everyone says, and we hear this all the time at United Canine Professionals and even at Merlin's Kids, where people say, you know, I wish I could do something. I want to help others. I want to do something. I don't know what to do. Well, instead of talking, I always have a little phrase, those who can do, those who don't, who can't, talk about it. So if you can't do something, that doesn't mean Like if you're, let's say, in a house and you're homebound, doesn't mean you can't help. Get a computer, or if you have a computer, get on there, go to some of the rescues, and become an intermediary. I want to ask Tom and Gina how they got involved, actually. Tom, if you guys can tell me, I don't know how long you've really been involved with it, with doing this, but how did you get started? Like, which dog or what happened that made you guys say, you know what, we can make a difference even if we don't take the dogs ourselves? We can make a difference. What happened?
Well, I think Gene is the one that got us started in it, and it came from, of all things, I think from a political email that she was getting. And I don't know if she knows why it came to her. It's just, you know, spam, basically. But what this person did, and he was putting out, you know, news around the state, that kind of thing, but he'd always start by featuring some shelter dogs from different shelters. And so you start looking at these sad faces, and you know that most of the shelters in Georgia are sadly high-kill shelters, that the euthanasia rate is way too high. And you say, this dog isn't going to be around tomorrow if we don't do something to save it.
And so which dog? Was there a particular dog, a particular sad face that you saw that made you just say, you know what, we've got to do something, honey. We've got to make a difference, or this dog's going to be dead. Well, which dog was it? Who started you?
Name a dog. I mean, there's so many different types of dogs in these shelters, and I don't know if these numbers are accurate, but I've actually heard that 25% of the dogs in shelters are purebreds. And
I believe that. Is, I believe that.
Yes. That's amazing to me. We have seen little poodles in these shelters with little sweaters on, little bows in their hair, beautiful collars, halters. Come in, they look like they have been groomed. It's just amazing. I mean, you wonder, how did they find these dogs? Where did they come from? What are their stories? And how did they end up here? It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I was at our local shelter in New Jersey, and the lady there is, I was talking about her last week, she got in there and changed our kill shelter to a no-kill shelter. And she said, you know, it's great, and she's so happy. The problem is, when you turn into a no-kill shelter, you have overcrowding issues. You have overcrowding issues even in a high-kill shelter. But when you have a no-kill shelter, the dogs live there longer. And that's one of the things that we talk about at United Canine Professionals. Anyone who's really interested in, you know, making a difference, helping us to help the dogs in the shelters and rescues. And what we try to do is go to the people's homes, offer them help on how to rehabilitate the dog's issues. So now if the dog doesn't have those issues, they may not get rid of the dog. I can't tell you how many times we've, you know, stood outside a shelter watching for the people who are bringing dogs in, and you catch a couple of people, and the people will say to you, oh, you know, he nipped at my kid, I can't have that, or, oh, he pees in the house, or he ripped up my husband's business material, and my husband said we just can't keep him anymore. And it's heartbreaking. But United Canine Professionals, our goal is to get to the people who buy those little sweaters and pay $50 or $60 or $80 for grooming their dog. And they love their dog, but they just don't know what to do to fix the behavioral issues. Well, that's what we want to do, and that's why we're going to actually try to get down to Georgia. And I spoke with the lady from your local shelter who was pretty excited about it. So we're going to have our team from United Canine Professionals, well, not the whole team, that'd be huge, but probably have a half a dozen of us come down and do some events, doing adoption events, and also training the volunteers and maybe training a few people, maybe like Tom and Gina, who want to make a difference and will be able to help prevent these dogs from going to the shelter in the first place. Because if we can fix the behavioral issues before the dog is given up, then the dog never gets into the shelter in the first place. And that is everyone's goal. The other thing is we've really got to understand, you know, I've seen it before, one dog trainer versus another dog trainer, one breed versus another, one all-breed rescue against another. And it's just amazing to me that we all love animals, and we all love dogs. And amazingly, we all want to rescue dogs, and we want to help dogs. Yet those are the same people who, you know, are really against each other. Oh, don't go to that rescue. We're better. You know, that's what I think I just really took to heart when I spoke with Tom and Gina, that they just really, like us at United Canine Professionals, we don't care where the dog comes from. A child is a child. A dog is a dog. Just save one. If you can save one dog, and everyone in the United States, 320 million people, if we could get one of 100, we could get 320,000 people, right? It's even more than that. Look, my math is off. I'm so tired. I got to go eat something. But if we could get, let's say, 320,000 people each to take one dog, that would be 320,000 dogs that would not die. Well, if we could get one in 100, we could have 3,200,000 dogs that would not die. And you know what the rate is that they say with let me go with HSUS or Humane, you know, the different agencies who do, you know, evaluations and estimates of how many dogs are dying. By all estimations, it's either 3 to 5 million or, guess what, 4 million. So there are about 4 million dogs every year being euthanized around the United States. Forget about the cats, is probably 10 times that. There are animals out there who need homes. If these were children and we had 4 million children who died every year from something that was, you know, curable, we would have an epidemic. We'd have people screaming and calling everybody and trying to help. Well, guess what, folks? Save a world, whether it's a human or a dog. And please stay tuned for the last segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Before we finish up the last segment today, I really wanted to talk about something. How do you get involved? Let's say you have a computer and you're going to do what Tom and Gina are doing. We're going to speak with them in a moment again. That's one way to help. There are some people who say, you know what, I want to learn how to help dogs. I want to be a part of not even letting these dogs get into the shelters in the first place. Well, you can contact UnitedK9Professionals.com at 855-4-K9-PROS, P-R-O-S. You can call us, or you can call merlinskids.org. At merlinskids.org, we have a great 800 number in honor of our wonderful Wyatt, 855-HI-WYATT, like Wyatt Earp, Hi, Wyatt. So, you know, you can call us, and if you have a dog that you are ready to give up, please don't bring it to the shelter. Please try to find someone who might be able to take the dog. Because unfortunately, people don't understand. They think, or maybe they want to think, to ease their guilt or whatever feeling is going through them at that moment. They're deciding to take this animal who the night before was sleeping in their children's bed soundly, protecting their house, and the next day they just take it to a cold, scary, noisy place where everything is made of concrete and metal, and this dog who had been sleeping by the fireplace with his little sweater going in mom's fancy, you know, SUV or fancy car, and had been going for the best veterinary care. And what happened? What happened to that dog? What did that dog do? What could that dog possibly have done to deserve going to prison, in effect, and sometimes having the death penalty? It's just a scary thing. There is no dog who is safe if dogs like the ones Tom and Gina were describing, who, you know, come in with little sweaters and bows in their hair. These were loved pets. Now, granted, there are a lot of different reasons why people give dogs up. I had, when I was in my early teens, my great-aunt Johanna had a little Yorkie, he was adorable, named Candy Boy. And Candy Boy was supposed to have gone to me, and I was going to take care of him for her. But because of a glitch in some legal paperwork with my great aunt's will, somebody else, who I won't mention, got that dog instead. And unfortunately, she was just very interested in how much money she was going to get to take care of the dog. And I found out later, through a family member, that she had actually just dumped this dog at a shelter. And I didn't know about it for years later, otherwise I would have taken him. So, you know, there are sometimes where an elderly parent or uncle or grandparent has a dog, the family really needs to find an adequate home. It is not okay to take the dog that kept your grandpa alive for 7 or 8 years of his life, and that dog is now 8, 9, 10 years of age, gets dumped in hell, basically, for no fault of his own. There are good dogs in the shelters. Yes, there are dogs who, you know, who have hurt people or hurt other dogs or who are aggressive. But there are, most of the dogs in there are good dogs. And you just wonder, I guess it's why the divorce rate's so high too. What is it with people that when you have a commitment, we're not saying if you're allergic to the dog, you got to keep the dog and, you know, be on asthma medication for until the dog passes. But for goodness sake, find someone, find an appropriate home. I would hope that nobody would decide that, oh, my child is wetting his bed, which would be analogous to, oh, my dog is peeing in the house and he's making a mess. Would you dump your child in foster care or in an orphanage because he was a bedwetter? Well, you'll do it for your dog. Heck, your dog doesn't even have to do anything. Why do we give up on our pets? Why do we give up on our spouses? Why do we give up? Find somebody you made a responsible choice, or so it should have seemed, to take that dog and keep that dog. How do you go back on that? I don't know. Tom and Gene, I just want to ask you one more thing before you guys go back to doing the rescue work that you're doing. If you won $100 million right now in the lottery, or one of our lovely viewers gave us a winning lotto ticket to split amongst ourselves, and we could do anything, what would you guys do with $100 million?
Wow, $100
million. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I really don't. But when you see so many dogs that want a home, they need a home, it would be awesome to have lots of land and be able to take all of them out of these shelters and say, you know, you have acres to run and play on, and you're safe, and you don't have to worry anymore. You will be loved, and you will be cared for.
And I think we'd want to take some of it and really begin a massive spay-neuter program, because there are so many dogs and cats that just run free and procreate, and that adds to the problem. So if we can, and spaying and neutering doesn't change their behavior, it doesn't change their personality, it just changes their procreation.
And, you know, it's funny because there are really a lot of very good spay-neuter programs around the country. I mean, I've been in probably 48 of the 50 states, and we'll actually be in Hawaii training some new people for United Canine Professionals this year. But, you know, I travel pretty extensively. You don't know me real well yet, Tom and Gina, but I have a feeling we're going to be in each other's lives somehow, especially if we can split that winning lotto ticket, because I've got some great ideas on how to save the world two lives at a time and provide free service dogs for children with special needs and for veterans using some of these great dogs who are in the shelters already. Spay-neuter is really important, and this coming from a breeder of Grand Champion Westminster Kennel Club dogs who won at Westminster and you know, dogs who, you know, like Wyatt, who won the AKC Ace Award. And so I'm a big proponent of breeding, but of breeding the right way, of being responsible, of having a contract that if somebody you sell a puppy to or place a puppy with can't keep that dog, guess what? I just took back one today, a family who couldn't keep the dog because they have to sell their house. And they knew, they've known since the day that puppy, who's now about 7 or 8 years old, since the day that dog was born, they have told me, I know if anything happens, don't worry. They live in a very big house. I mean, a couple $1 million at least. And unfortunately, with the economy, people are having to give dogs up. But this dog will have a forever home with me. If you're going to breed, please breed to better your breed. And there's no reason to breed more dogs unless you are going to Champion Show Dogville. But most of the dogs, even after their showing career is over, which for my guys is only a few weeks, that they win championships very quickly. But the key is get out there and teach people, educate people about spay-neuter. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to Tom and Gene. I thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're running out of time this week, but maybe we'll have them in an upcoming segment as well. So much to Tom and Gina from Georgia for doing what you do. And thank you for listening to our show, From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.